Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, thank you so much for holding on. You would laugh if you knew what all transpired to get the show put together today. We had a show put together the very first, took about a week to put it together, but everything we had to put the show together fell apart. So we put another one together this morning. Well, this show you're hearing now is like another show put together before. But I think we're doing great. I just want to let you know, that's what live radio is about. One of the bellwether things that changed the whole thing was Lee coming up and telling me about this in Virginia, what's going on in Virginia. But before I go any further, we have a wonderful, wonderful brother, a patriot. He's hardcore. He's Christian. We just call him Mr. Buddy. God bless him. He has continued to support us, you know. But Mr. Buddy has been rock solid. He's been one of our biggest supporters. We love him to death. And without his support, there would be no Blood River Radio, because, you know, we've spent just about everything we have. Now we're relying on other people's generosity to help us keep us on the air. I think if we can, you know what, people? I think if we can stay on another year, if we can last a year, I believe we'll be totally self-sustaining and hopefully never have to ask for another dime. That's what I'd like to do. But you know what? I really don't mind asking you for money. I'm not going to say, oh, I hate to ask for money. No, I don't. Because, you know what? We're all in this fight together. You know, if Sam and Eddie and Lee and Matt and Jacob own and own and own, if we can all stick our neck out here every day, day in and day out, the least some of you people can do is and you do. I'm not lecturing you, I'm not slashing you, but that's how you support us. We all play our parts. To paraphrase Pastor Tom Robb, you know, you got 100 different instruments in the band. Everybody can't be out here on the front lines. Nobody has the balls. Everybody has the balls of a Sam Bushman, of an Eddie Miller, of a Lee, of a Matt. You don't all have the balls, but you know what? If you ain't got balls, you got money, and you got to have both. So if you got it, send it. We'll put it to good use, because we got 1,000 things we want to do. We want to go to Charlottesville in October, in November, because that's when it's going to hit the fan. If you listen to Dr. Tom Sinek, he said it's going to hit the fan. He's talking about the crap hitting the fan. And this is coming from a PhD who's hoity-toity compared to us. Well, now, listen, I think I'm going to shut up right now. People, we're going to bring Matt on right now. Matt's got a couple of hot news items that he's going to bring on and talk about. Then we'll let Lee finish. When Matt's through, we'll let Lee finish talking about this Virginia thing. And we'll bring Jacob on, and we'll summarize. Me and Jacob, we'll see what he's got. Then we'll all summarize what Dr. Sunek had to say, because we could talk 4 hours about what he said. So go ahead, take off. How are you doing tonight, Matt? You feeling any better, son?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, things are good. I'm doing well. We have an amazing audience, and we really appreciate all their support. And, folks, you can support us in so many different ways. It doesn't just have to be money. Like I said in our commercial, we like words of encouragement. But here's another one of our listeners supported us in this way, and this is one of the things we need to get out to our listening audience. He felt pressed that we need to tell you about some of the workings behind the organization of Antifa, and we need to talk about this, because this is one way you can participate. So there are people that are listening who may not have any money. Not even a single red cent to offer, because they just don't have it to give. They have to take care of themselves. We understand that. Folks, here's something you can do to support the cause. This message was given to us. Hi, Eddie. How are you? I have a request. Please announce this as part of the news on the show. So apparently an Antifa organization has been listed and applied for 501c3 status. And those of you who may not be familiar with Antifa, they're the green-haired, black-hearted, ugly monsters that attacked us, the communists that attacked us in Charlottesville. These people have been listed as 501c3 status, which means they're a nonprofit organization that is not able to be politically biased and receives tax-free donations, or tax-exempt status. Folks, this is a complete egregious use of our legal system and of our tax system. And please, you can file an anonymous complaint. You can go look up and check, fact check what I'm talking about. There's a website. It's called conservative-headlines.org. And it's /Antifa-organization-has-501c3 status. You can probably just go to conservative-headlines.org and peruse their website and search it. But this is absolutely a serious problem. There's another website you can confirm this. It's national-justice.com. And you can go to their current events website, their page on there. That's two websites, conservativeheadlines.org and nationaljustice.com. And you can check that everything we're telling you is absolutely true. Now, here's how you can file a complaint with the IRS. It's you go to www.irs.gov, and you go to their charities nonprofits page, and you go to the IRS complaint process tax-exempt organizations page. And you can file a complaint against them. And every one of us should do this because these people do not deserve that. So we thank this listener for sending us this information. That's their way of helping out, and it's also your way of being able to help out what we're doing for our people. Yeah, so Eddie mentioned the Battle of Blood River. I'm going to shift gears here. It's we're coming up. It's the 14th of December, but the famous day happened on the 16th of December in 1838. And that's when the Voortrekkers, the border pioneers that went across their land, that's when they, the night before the battle, they made a vow and they gathered their congregation and prayed before God, God deliver us this night and we'll forever raise our kids and honor your name with teaching them your, that you are our God. And that was what they called the Day of the Vow. And, since the ANC took over, the Day of the Vow has been renamed to the Reconciliation Day. They're not allowed to celebrate the Day of the Vow. They have to celebrate Reconciliation Day. It falls on the same day, but we all know that that was the Day of the Vow. And those of us who are hardcore, and even the Boers that are hardcore, the border people, they still celebrate the Day of the Vow, many of them over there. And we should remember them in our hearts and our prayers, as they're being especially persecuted right now. Let me give you an update on their status. They have been actually...
Hey, Matt, we got to go to a break. And before we come back, people, we need to talk about... Sam just talked about what Matt is talking about, this tax-exempt Antifa. It's called tax-exempt terrorism. We'll let Matt and talk about that a little bit more when we come back and when he gets through covering Blood River. Hang on, people. We'll be right back after this break.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt, and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
A being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, people, we're right back. We're going to go right back to Matt and let Matt finish up. We got kind of a backlog, a log jam tonight. Because I told you people how we had to just do this show on the fly today. We're not apologizing. We're just standing here. We're just letting you know. It's a little bit, the synchronization is a little bit off because we had a log jam when Dr. Sunik stayed a little longer than we had planned the first hour. But that's quite all right. Matt, before we go to Jacob, go back and finish what you were talking about the Battle of Blood River and also about this tax-exempt terrorism, dude.
Yeah, so the battle of that famous Blood River battle, it happened on December 16th. It started what they celebrated every year. The Afrikaner people celebrated the Day of the Vow. And, of course, they made that vow that they would always teach their kids about God. And then the next day, 30,000 Zulus attacked a band of about 400 Boer trekkers, of which their very own president, Paul Kruger, was a little boy at. And anyway, so they were attacked violently by these 30,000 Zulus, and God protected them. Not even one Boer trekker was killed that day, and maybe one or two were wounded, but that was it. And that defeated the Zulu nation at that time. So, yeah, they celebrated the Day of the Vow, but since the ANC has taken over, they've only been allowed to celebrate the Day of Reconciliation. Let's remember these people in our hearts and minds, our prayers. They've especially been going through a lot of trouble the past week. Let me give you an update on South Africa. They've had complete ESCOM failure several days in a row as they've done load shedding across the communities. Load shedding is their way of it basically works like this, people. They want to keep the important stuff running, so they shut the power to your house off. That's what load shedding really is. And so they've been going through a complete chaotic schedule of load shedding this whole past week. So pray for the Afrikaner people, pray for the South Africans. And so about this 501c3 status, these people, the Antifa organization, I want to remind our audience, these are the people that rioted in Portland, Oregon. They've rioted in Auburn. They've rioted in Kentucky. They've rioted in Charlottesville.
New Orleans.
Chicago, New Orleans. They've rioted in
Pikeville,
Austin. Oh, Pikeville, Kentucky. That's right. So many cities across this country. They've caused countless millions of dollars worth of damage, to be honest. When you factor in government money, government budgets, and you're talking about how many police forces and all that, they've probably blown through millions of our tax dollars, causing chaos. And on top of that, they're producing all sorts of filth into our, and pushing all sorts of filth through our society that we need to stamp our foot on. And folks, you can do it by going. You can do it by going to this IRS website. I'll give you the website one more time. It's IRS.gov, and you go to their charities, nonprofits, and you go to the IRS complaint process. And the organization should not be tax exempt. So
it's tax exempt terrorism.
It is what they're doing is getting free, basically free money, because they don't have to pay any taxes on what they get. They're basically getting free money, ripping all of us off, and then costing us millions on the back end by causing chaos and anarchy through the streets.
Tax-funded terrorism. Sam is right. Sam, it's absolutely right. You know what, people, and Matt and Jacob and everybody, if you ever needed any proof that we have a tyrannical, thug, criminal enterprise that we call a government, they're tyrannical. That's right. You know what? Antifa has become just like, mainstream government. That's who that's who the hell we have running this government. We have freaking Antifa people, and we have these Christ-hating Zionists. That's what we got. And we're supposed to bow down and salute that flag and kiss their tails. Well, it's not going to happen. But anyway, Matt, man, you're on fire.
It's not happening here on my end anyway, I'll tell you that.
No, sir. And I'd like to...
I'm not bowing down and kissing that ring. Because they want to impose their views of culture on us. They want to impose their views of chaos and anarchy on us. I don't want part of it.
They want us dead. They will not be satisfied until we are dead, until they're defecating on our graves. Matt, tell the audience why this South African stuff has why we're so interested in it. Tell them about the background of this show.
Well, we obviously went to Charlottesville with our very own friend out of South Africa, Simon Rosh, who was doing a tour across America trying to wake Americans up about our future, about our soon coming plight. And on the tail end of his trip, he went with us over to Charlottesville and just observed the chaos that was breaking out here in this country. And he was already here for a whole year warning Americans that this stuff is about to start up. And it's been nonstop attacks ever since. And he was very prophetic in a lot of ways. I mean, we had seen Antifa before he came, but it's, right at the tail end of his trip, we start seeing a complete assault on our culture and values. We're interested in South Africa because they are the exact example of where our country is going. They're like the imprint of where our foot's about to step in the foot track. And we're going right on their heels.
And you know what? What's the name of this show, our show now, Matt?
Blood River Radio.
And why was it started?
The vow.
That's right. You know what? You got chills. Go ahead, son. I'm sorry.
Because God gave you the spirit of fighting this tyrannical, corrupt system, and you had the epiphany of naming it after our friends who have already been through this assault on their culture over in South Africa.
And I haven't been to South Africa. Matt Goodwin, who's speaking to you right now, people, he has been there. He's seen it with his up close and personal. But Matt, he's not going to believe his lying eyes. He's going to believe what our tyrannical, Satanist, thug government is telling you. Oh, no, Matt will never believe what he saw with his own eyes in South Africa. The hell you say. Well, Matt, we've got Jacob on. He's been holding on. Thank you so much. We should have, I'm sorry I had to keep you over, Matt. I'm sorry we didn't get you on the first hour. But as Dr. Sunik, he stayed on a little longer. We had to do some shuffling of musical chairs. But thank you so much, Matt. I'll be talking to you every day. God bless you. I love you so much, Matt. You're just my flesh and blood. You know, me and Matt, we went to Charlottesville together that fateful day in 2017, and Matt's even went to South Africa. Well, thank you so much, Matt. I guess we'll let you go now. We're going to bring Jacob on, and he's I have no clue what Jacob's going to be talking about, but we're going to pick him up. And well, thanks a lot, people. Hello there, Jacob. How you doing, fella?
Hey, Pappy. Glad to be on air tonight.
Well, I'm glad we finally got you on. We had to do some shuffling around. I told you the problem we had getting the show together earlier today, but we have a lot to cover tonight. But what have you got? Have you got anything special you want to cover?
Yeah, no problem at all. I was enjoying listening to you and Matt and the guys talk. And it was Matt was definitely on fire tonight. He's doing some great work, and it's an honor to be involved in this whole project with y'all. You know, I was thinking just while y'all were talking too. Matt talking about the South Africa issue reminded me of a conversation I was having with Simon just recently. We were all over in Memphis not too long ago, and you were up in the room around that same time. Yeah, you and Simon and I, we were all hanging out in the hotel room upstairs, and you may have even been there for part of this conversation. My memory is a little sketchy on because you ducked out right around that time. It was right when we'd recorded the show and everything. And at any rate, I was telling Simon the bulletproof George Washington story and asking him if he'd ever heard it, you know, while he was here traveling. And to my surprise, he'd never actually come across that particular story before. And so he was naturally, I think I hear the music there.
Oh, I knew you, I was going to say it, but I knew you knew the drill. We'll be right back. Jacob, and we'll take up where you left off, and also Lee, I think fill you in just a minute or two on what's going on in Virginia. And Virginia's not very far from where you live, Jacob, as you well know. People, will be right back in just a minute. Hold on to your seats.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
North Korea said it successfully performed another crucial test at its long-range rocket site that will further strengthen its nuclear deterrent. The test possibly involved technologies to improve intercontinental ballistic missiles that could potentially reach the continental United States. On his way to the Army-Navy football game, President Trump had this to say.
I'd be surprised if North Korea acted hostily. I have a very good relationship with Kim Jong-un. I think we both want to keep it that way.
The announcement comes as North Korea continues to pressure the administration for major concessions as it approaches an end-of-year deadline set by leader Kim Jong-un. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. And don't forget, you can listen online anytime at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife Jenny was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Jane Fonda continued her weekly tradition of protesting on the steps of the U.S. Capitol, but this time, Forrest Gump's mom, Sally Field, was there, and she left the event with Capitol Police in handcuffs. Field, along with environmentalist Winona LaDuke, urged people to get out of their comfort zones and fight the climate crisis. She said it's time to get out and scream loud, because if you don't do it, no one else will. The protests are centered around a different theme each week. This week, they focused on jobs, communities, and traditions from fossil fuel-based industries to make a cleaner world economy. The Samoa measles outbreak has not slowed down, prompting their government to extend a state of emergency to December 29th. Over 5,100 measles cases have been reported since the outbreak, with 74 recorded in a recent 24-hour period and 72 measles-related deaths thus far. Only 31% of Samoans were vaccinated when the outbreak officially was declared. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we're right back. You guys know that I hate to interrupt our song right there. That's my national, that's the Blood River Radio national anthem. Anyway, people, we're going to go right back to Jacob. Jacob's going to tell us a little bit about, Jacob's right, we were all at the political cesspool 15th year anniversary back in, I think it was October, and Simon Roach was there. People came from all over the world. We had people from South America. Jacob, we broadcast, Blood River Radio broadcast from, we were close to Mississippi. We were, as the crow flies, we're probably 12 miles to Mississippi. Matter of fact, even old Sam himself was up there. And one thing that really, I'll tell you one thing that really made me feel warm toward Kurt Cosby. Kurt comes up there. He's so unpretentious. He sprawls out on the floor, laying down, looks like an old Tennessee country boy, getting him a nap. And we're broadcasting. Man, we're just flame throwing. You know, Dr. Hill was there. Me and Dr. Hill sat there just melting the damn wires in the air. And Sam gave out the prayer. We just had a wonderful time there. It was the most fun broadcast we probably ever had. But anyway, we're going right back to Jacob now. And Jacob, before the hour's up, Sam, Lee wants to tell you, you may or may not know about the hell that's breaking loose over in Virginia. And Jacob lives a lot closer to Virginia than we do. He probably knows more about it than we do. But there's this thing, I'll let Lee tell you about it. When you get through with what you're talking about now, Jacob, we'll let Lee, Lee's wanting to tell you about some stuff going on over in Virginia. Anyway, go back to what you were talking about, Jacob.
Thanks, Pappy. Yeah, I'd love to hear about it, Lee. I was just commenting on how Matt's comments on what was going on over in South Africa reminded me of this conversation we were having in the room with Simon. And I was telling Simon the bulletproof George Washington story, and he hadn't heard of it before, surprisingly, and in the time he spent here, but he was very fascinated, by it, needless to say. And it reminded him of a story he himself had heard in regards to the Battle of Blood River. And he told me that it's similar to the account in the Bulletproof George Washington story, the kind of second act, so to speak, of the story where Washington returned years later to the area where that battle had been fought on the way to Fort Duquesne. This old Indian chief approached him and said that he wanted to meet Washington face to face. And he proceeded to tell Washington about how during that battle, he was there at that battle when the Indians and the French ambushed the British soldiers on the road. And he had personally given the order to a bunch of his sharpshooters to shoot down all the British officers. And they had gotten pretty much everybody except Washington. And they kept on trying to shoot him, Most of our audience, I think, knows the story. He had more than one horse shot out from under him. At the end of the battle, he found bullet fragments in his hair and in his jacket. And the Indian chief approached him and told him that I got to a point where I just, told, paraphrasing him, of course, but he says, we reached a point where after several attempts on your life, I just told the Braves to stop trying to shoot you. I said, obviously, the Great Spirit is protecting this man. Don't even bother trying to kill him anymore. And so so it reminded Simon of this, of a similar account during this war, or during this fight at Blood River. And he was telling me that some of the Zulus, like people that interviewed some of the Zulu chiefs years down the road and got their side of the story and everything, some of the Zulu chiefs had commented that at each corner of the circle of wagons at the Battle of Blood River, they saw four very tall men.
Sam, we lost Jacob. Go ahead, Jacob. Well, people, this looks like a technical difficulty. We don't have near as many as we used to. We have them every now and then, but it's no big deal. But I know exactly what Jacob's talking about. There's also another incident I've heard about, Lee. Lee's in the studio with me. I have a dear brother who I've known since I was a preteen. And he's a big history buff. He told me also a story about George Washington, that when he went, that and there's witnesses to this, as documented, he told me, George Washington went out to pray, and there was snow. You know, they had, it was one of those really cold winters that they had to fight through when the people didn't have shoes, boots. I don't even know if they had good boots in those days. But where he went out to pray, supposedly the snow just melted and cleared in like a 20-foot circle around George Washington. So, you know, people can say what they want to about the founding fathers. There's always going to be no matter. People, Jacob's right back. So Jacob, I was just telling the people, I was filling in on what you said about a good brother before you finish. A brother of mine, I've known since before I was a teenager, he's told a story similar in magnitude to what you just regaled us with. George Washington went out to pray, and witnesses said where he went out, the snow, you know how the dreadful winters they had in those days, the snow around where George Washington went out to pray, because they were in this desperate life or death battle. The odds were stacked against them. They were almost like surely to lose this battle, to be wiped out. The snow melted around George Washington, and they won the battle. But go ahead. That's just another. George Washington was here appointed by God to come and do what he did. I don't care what anybody says. And that's the point. Well, I was making the point Jacob's making. But go ahead. Finish with your story, Jacob, please.
Simply incredible. Simply incredible. Yeah, so, and sorry about that, folks, by the way. My phone signal cut out for some reason. So at any rate, I asked Simon where this story had come from, because I'd never heard it before. I mean, we've all heard the stories about Old Blood River and whatnot, but I hadn't heard that detail. I mean, think of this. You have Zulu commanders, war chiefs or whatever, reporting and people fighting with them, saying that they saw four tall men standing at the corners of the circled wagons with flaming swords. I mean, it's like something out of the Lord of the Rings or something. It's simply incredible to hear about. So I told Simon, that's amazing. You know, where did you hear that story? And he told me there was this series of audio lectures that a South African historian named David Rattray did, spelled with two T's, Rattray. And he's done this five-part audio series on the Anglo-Zulu War of 1879 called The Day of the Dead Moon. And so for anyone who wants to check it out, I haven't had a chance to myself yet, but Simon was telling me that that's, you know, where he heard the story. And so whether it's that, whether it's the bulletproof George Washington, whether it's the story that Pappy was telling us, even going back into the medieval period, a good friend of mine told me some accounts he's read where from manuscripts from that time period where crusaders fighting the Muslim hordes, there's some written accounts where they saw some kind of angelic type being in the battle. And then, you have the old story of, Emperor Constantine,
hey, Jacob,
saying that he had the,
you have a fan
of, pardon me.
We have a caller wanting to make a comment to you, Jacob. You stirred up some emotion with your story. We have James from St. Louis that wants to come in. Hello, James. How are you doing, fella? Sam's bringing him. You have a caller, Jacob. Sam's kind of to bring him up in just a minute. It looks like what's your story you're telling, the one we railed about George Washington, has stirred up a lot of interest out there. I didn't want to cut you off, Jacob.
He dropped off.
There goes our second caller, man. I was really excited. Hey, he's back. He's back. Here we go. Hello, James? We'll give you James, you there?
Eddie.
James? I'm doing okay. Wonderful, fella. I'm so excited to have a call. Sam said that you had a comment you wanted to make to me or make to Jacob, since Jacob was the one telling you about the George Washington thing. Would you like to say something to Jacob, James?
Well, you know, it's odd that you should be talking about the bulletproof George Washington issue, because I saw an old TV show that was on that topic. It was called One Step Beyond. I don't know if you ever watched that program. But you know, while I was watching that old TV show, it occurred to me that it would have been easy enough for George Washington to shoot his uniform full of holes and then go on the battlefield and create a legend of himself to better be able to lead men. What do you think about that paranoia?
I'll let Jacob answer that, and then I'll tell you what I think about it. Go ahead, Jacob.
Well, it's an interesting idea, and there certainly are accounts in history where, you know, someone does something really elaborate like that just for the sake of creating a larger-than-life story. But, you know, George Washington in particular was known for his character, and so in his particular case, I mean, I don't doubt, I guess the short answer would be I don't doubt that plenty of people have done that throughout history. People certainly do it in the present. You look at the elaborate links that certain of our rabbi friends who preside over synagogues and everything go through to perpetrate hate crimes against themselves by spray painting swastikas and whatnot on the side of their buildings. And so, I mean, it goes on today, and I'm sure it's happened plenty in history. But in the case of someone who's renowned for his character like George Washington, I guess the short answer would be I'm very skeptical about that. And you have lots and lots of other accounts throughout history that are just miraculous. There's no real way of explaining away or rationalizing what happened. So in the absence of some kind of precedent for miraculous events, I'd be more open to the explanation of somebody maybe fabricating the evidence. But it would also have to accompany someone whose reputation would...
Jacob, looks like we got to go to a break. We're just about out. You're just about out of time. We've got to go to our next break. James, if you want to hold on, and we'll come right back. Be right back, people. Hold on to your seats.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials. Mm. Meow.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to asked you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Well, people, speaking of miracles, you're listening to a miracle in this radio show right here. I'll tell you all about that in just a minute. I'm going to go back to James. James, are you still there, fella?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, I'll give you my short answer. But first of all, let me tell you how tickled I am that you call in. We love to get callers. We absolutely do. Well, you know, going back to thank you, sir. You know, I could tell you about the miracle of me running. I've run about 16 marathons since I was 65. I'm 73 now. I was in cardiac ICU in 2007. I'd tell you my health history, but you wouldn't believe it, how horrible it was. I'm going to go back to George Washington. Like Sam was saying, I was talking to Sam during the break, like as we often do. You know, my short to midterm answer is pretty much like Jacob's, pretty much like Sam's. You know, there's been a cynics all through the times, all through the years. And some people say that they believe miracles can happen. Well, I know. I've lived through miracles. I really have. Everybody that knows me knows my health history, how wounded, you know, more than once, brain damage back in the 60s, cardiac ICU in 2007. But George Washington, going back to him, he was a man. He was above the fray. He was above reproach. Everybody in his day, they almost idolized him. They wanted to make him a king. And it wasn't like some guy comes running out of the bushes and say, "Hey, look at me! I got my coat shot all to pieces." You know, where'd he come from? We don't even know him. George Washington, this war had been going on for years. He'd been in battle after battle after battle. Similar to the great Nathan Bedford Forrest, although George Washington was more miraculous than that even. But yeah, his reputation preceded him. I have no doubt it happened. And here's what makes the point. It wasn't George Washington saying, it was his adversaries. It was his enemies that fired after him, fired after time after time after time. That's documented. That's what Jacob told you is actually documented. So yes, I'm sure it was a miracle. This whole country's a miracle. The miracle is, can we hold it together with all of our people, such a large part of our. Yeah, you know what? Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's a miracle. You know, people, and we have the apostles, the people back when Jesus Christ was on earth. He gave miracle after miracle after miracle. But even still, so many of them still would not believe. You know, if you, some people believe, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. It's okay, you know, like Doubting Thomas believed because he saw. But blessed are the people who believed and have not seen. Now, you know, that doesn't mean you have to be, gullible. But yeah, faith. Yeah, it actually happened. You can tear down anything. But what do you say? What do you say,
Jim? I'm not trying to tear down George Washington. And I think the best thing that speaks for him is that he refused to be elected king. I don't need any more to speak for him than that. But I'm not trying to deny the miraculous victory at the Encomi River through this. I just know that you were trying to bolster the idea that there are miracles. I believe that miraculous seeming or miraculous things do happen that are totally unlikely, and good ones happen. I believe that one happened, and I believe that if George Washington did as I suggested, it was for a good purpose because, and I'm going to get back to your show and what its purpose serves to me. Its purpose, yes, would have been to imbue his followers with a faith in him, which would help them succeed in a good cause. And I think that that's what your show does, because a long time ago, I and other like-minded people agreed that it was all over but the shouting, and we might as well just, you know, be quiet and let it happen. But when I listen to your show, you stir me up with the idea that even the downtrodden minority of people who know what the truth is and what's really happening could stand up on their hind legs like you're doing and prevail, okay? That's my focus with my call.
Well, thank you so much. You just made my day, James. I'm so glad. I don't have any words better to say than I'm just elated that I could help you, give you some hope. Lee, what do you have to say about it?
Well, yeah, that's... I'm just saying that miracle, maybe this miracle in Virginia, the people are rising up finally to the tyranny from this state governor. And with that, Eddie wanted to say, if he threatens to not give you your taxes back, we just won't pay the taxes and we can get rid of the IRS. It's a double play.
Yeah. You know, getting back to James, I'd like to address one more thing to you about faith. You know, God, and I've said this on the air before, God has never worked through the strong. God has always used the weak to defeat the strong. He uses the simple to confound the wise. Sam and I were talking about that today. You can never, ever, ever give up. I am a hardcore Christian. You may not be, but I can promise you, I have nothing to gain from it. I haven't been a Christian all my life. I had a miraculous conversion 2 months before my 62nd birthday, but God expects you to stay and fight. God doesn't command us to win. God does command us to fight. And if you have the faith of a mustard seed, I know this is a paraphrasing Bible. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say, "Mountain, fall into that sea." And it's almost that profound. But you know, it's never lost. We have to resist. And also, Sam was saying something today. Me and Sam during our conversation, the devil wants people. He wants the Eddie Millers and the James from St. Louis. He wants you to think that it's hopeless. It's not. The people of the United States are aware of a hell of a lot more of us. We outnumber them 100,000 to 1. We have the fighting spirit of our ancestors. We have their genetic blood in us. We have the genetics in us from George Washington, from Davy Crockett, from Daniel Boone, from General George Patton, from General Nathan Bedford Forrest. So that fighting spirit is there. And I'm going to tell you flat out, if they do come, if the battle does come, James, if they think they're going to win free, son, it ain't going to be free. It's going to cost like hell when they try to come against us. And I'll tell you what, the people here in the United States of America, I'm going to tell you, here's something else. I may be on my preacher's box. But God, people in the United States have turned their back on God. And that's why we're going through this hell right now. Now, we can't all do it by ourselves. But I'm going to tell you what, prayer moves mountains. One man's prayer can move mountains. If we here in the United States of America, and hopefully Europe, if we hit our knees, turn for our sacred ways, our simple ways, we can turn this country around. Jacob, what do you have to say about that to James?
Amen. Yeah, it's very true. It echoes of 2 Chronicles 7:14, and the founding fathers certainly echoed that premise as well. Patrick Henry said the battle is not to the strong alone, but to the vigilant, the active, and the brave. And so, yes, absolutely. You know, they don't. And you know, you're referencing the Ethelwyn Wetherall poem, of course. My orders are to fight, and if I bleed or fail or strongly win, what matters it? God only doth prevail. So, and you know, James, it's an interesting. And firstly, thank you for your encouraging words and everything. We greatly appreciate that.
Yes, I certainly appreciate that.
You're referencing an interesting point too when you bring up the question that you did about Washington, because propaganda as a premise is this very neutral thing. And there was one thing from around the period where a little bit of what you're describing did go on, where for very benign purposes, the truth was stretched a little bit to help get a message across. And an example of that was the Boston Massacre. Samuel Adams, who they called the Grand Incendiary, you know, he was a propagandist extraordinaire, and he had his he did, you know, what Thomas Paine was admonished to do by one of the founding fathers at one point, when they said, "Go on doing with your pen what others have done in times past with their swords." And Samuel Adams was doing that, you know, prior to the American Revolution, and then of course they had the street activists. Arm of what they were doing, the Sons of Liberty and the guys who staged the Boston Tea Party and whatnot. So, when the Boston Massacre happened, there was, to this day, it's still pretty murky what exactly happened, but we see the artwork now and we hear the account of it. And to be clear, I'm not in any way saying I think the British were blameless or that any kind of major spin was put on it, but it is an interesting example of the phenomenon you're talking about, James, where the truth is stretched a little bit for the greater good. And this instance is a prime example of it. The details were a little bit sketchy, and the mob in question, you know, though they had a very good reason to be there and they had every right to be angry, there are, from what they can piece together, there are indicators that people were throwing things at the British soldiers, and the soldiers there were conscripts and likely inexperienced and whatnot. And so from what we can piece together, from the different, you know, primary and secondary source materials we have, the mob was antagonizing the soldiers, even though, like I said, they had every right to be angry and whatnot. That was just a bad situation all around. But a couple of these soldiers panicked and started firing, and then, you know, this, it was a tragedy, really. It wasn't this malevolent thing.
Jacob, you're almost out of time, son. You're almost out of time, Jacob. But just there must have been a few Millers there that stirred that up. But go. But Jacob, we're just about out of time. I would like to thank James again from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. You've really fired me up. I wouldn't take your comments about our show. I wouldn't take $1 million for that. But we're almost out of time. But before we're out, Jacob, we'll go ahead and finish up. And well, that's it. That's it. People, we're out of time. Thank you. Jacob, parting shot.
It's been an honor to be on air with you guys tonight. So excited that we could have a call-in guest. I believe this is the first time that I've been on with y'all where we actually have someone calling in. So thank you for that, James, and enjoyed your question.
Well, thank you so much, Jacob. Thank you, James. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Matt. Thank all you listeners out there. You're just really making our day listening to our show like that. God bless you all. I ask God to stay with us so we can continue this fight. We do it for you. We do it for ourselves. We do it for our family. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, everybody. Good night.